This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:36 in the morning. It's a Tuesday, the 2nd of March, and of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to have the Breakfast Grill, where I will be speaking with Malaysia's chief statistician, difficult word I always find, who is that Datuk Sri Dr. Mohamed Uzi Mahidin. Now, the Department of Statistics, otherwise known as DOSM, has, I think in the last few years, increased in prominence because there's just so much data coming out from this government agency. But of course, the question marks over reliability and trustworthiness of information. And I think all this is crucial in decision-making, whether that's the government drafting policies or civil society casting ballots. So I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation, especially since DOSM is the keeper of data actually related to the national economic performance and also social development, critical in this COVID-19 environment in terms of what should the government focus on, what kind of policies should the government be really addressing. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. I think it's going to be very interesting, especially for those who are curious, how is statistics collected?
And statistics is interesting. Huh?
It is. Well, I'm a little bit of the geek department.
Good.
But I think little do we know how much actually goes behind the collection and the use of this information. But in the meantime, we are looking at Hong Kong this morning because the Hang Seng Index, which is tracked by tens of billions of dollars in pension fund assets and exchange-traded funds and even other active fund managers, is about to see a major shakeup. So yesterday, the company announced changes it is making to ensure the index is better reflects the range of firms listed in Hong Kong.
For example, the index will raise the number of constituents from 52 currently to 80 by mid-2022. Eventually, the goal is to include 100 companies. A stock's weighting will also now be limited to 8% from 10% before. The changes have yet to take place, although implementation will begin as early as May. So this announcement comes as the Hang Seng Index reached an all-time high in February, thanks in part to trading by mainland China-based investors.
So for a view on what this means for the market there, we are speaking this morning to Wong Chi Man, who is the head of research at China Galaxy International. Thanks for joining us on the show, Chi Man. Now, in light of the changes announced yesterday, what do you think the intention of the Bourse Hang Seng was in making these changes?
Good morning. We believe the reason why they expand the number of shares from 55 to 100 is to make the sector breakdown more balanced, because before this proposed reform, financials accounted for about 40% of the index. That means the index is dominated by a single sector, which may not really represent the true picture of the market. And that's why they have this reform, so that in the future, the sector representation will be more balanced.
So you really good point about sector imbalance, because currently 40%, when you add more, is there a risk that tech stocks will create another imbalance, or is that why the 8% cap comes in then?
According to the simulated results provided by Hang Seng Index Company, after the reform is fully implemented in the middle of next year, they expect tech stocks will account for around 28% of the index. So I think still not overly dominated because it's about 20%, unlike in the past for financials, we have 40%. So I think it's okay.
So one question I have is, is the purpose in a way to reduce the volatility of the Hang Seng Index then?
Probably maybe the opposite, because in the past we have 40% from financial and in fact mainly the Chinese banks. And in fact, in the past few years, because people have concerns about the asset quality, so the share price of the Chinese banks actually not very exciting. And and right now, if we introduce more high growth stocks, I think the good thing is in the long term, it should be a positive, given that those companies have higher growth. But because of the nature of those stocks, maybe more high beta. So I don't rule out in the future, the volatility of Hang Seng Index may increase. But in the longer run, maybe benefit for the long-term investors, because we included more high growth stocks.
Yeah, great point that actually this actually helps add a bit more activity and volatility into the market, but for the betterment right now. Just looking at numbers right in the past year to date, Hang Seng is up 8%, but down from the peak of 13%. So there is a bit of volatility here. Is this in line with retracement of global equities, or is it a risk off mode because of rising bond yields?
I think both, given that especially in January, we see a lot of fund flow from mainland Chinese investors. So at the same time, the index performed very well. So I think because of the news flow or concerns about the rising bond yield globally, so we see profit taking in the past maybe 1 or 2 weeks. So I will say profit taking is one thing. The other thing also related to the concerns about the bond yield, I think two may be to a certain extent interrelated.
And very quickly, I mean, we didn't get to ask you this, and of course, this is the million-dollar question. What could be, what would be the beneficiaries of losers of these changes on the Hang Seng Index?
Because right now, they standardized the weighting cap to 8%, because previously, for normal stocks, the weighting cap is 10%. And for those so-called voting rights company, the cap is 5%. Right now, they standardize to 8%. So the losers in the short term will be Tencent and AIA, because currently their weight is slightly higher than 10%. So it will cut down to 8%. But at the same time, for Alibaba and Meituan, currently they are capped at 5%. So that means once this reform is implemented, potentially they can reach 7% or 8% because the cap moved upward. So I think in the short term, the losers will be AIA and Tencent, and winners may be Alibaba and Meituan.
So last week, Hong Kong's budget announced an increase in stamp duty of 3 basis points, right, which has spurred a broad sell-off. Is this knee-jerk or really reflects a real change in investability of Hong Kong?
I think probably more affect the sentiment rather than something structural. The reason is because even before this increase of stamp duty, we already have 10 basis points of stamp duty. And that's why in the past, Hong Kong was never a hub for high-frequency trading, except for warrants, because warrants, we don't have stamp duty. And therefore, we believe, and in fact, when we discussed Hong Kong EX, they also believe in the past, high-frequency trading is not a high portion of the overall trading volume. And therefore, we believe this 3 basis points may be more a psychological impact rather than a structural impact, given that in the past, high-frequency trading was not a key part of the Hong Kong trading volume.
And Chee Man, since we have you on the line, you know, what is your investment strategy for the Hong Kong equity market?
I think in the long run, I think we still prefer those benefit from the overall development direction of the Chinese economy, like technology, consumer, healthcare, and renewables. But in the near term, we believe investors may also look at some old economy sectors, which will benefit from the economic recovery in general, such as banks and also commodities, maybe also shipping. Yeah, because definitely, in particular globally, right now we see the vaccination progress seems going well. So if we see further economic recovery in the next few months or next 1 or 2 quarters, I think those old economy sectors will benefit in the near term.
Thank you for your time. That was Wong Chee Man, Head of Research at China Galaxy International, giving us his views on the recent announced changes at the Hang Seng Index, which I think is like a first in a very, very long time, in many, many decades.
1969.
Okay. 51 years, guys. So, but he does tell us who are the winners and losers of these changes. So the losers are likely to be AIA and Tencent because their current weighting is above 8%. And the winners may be Alibaba and Meituan because their current weighting is at 5%. But he also gave us an overview of what to buy and what not to buy in Hong Kong.
There was a very additional changes made, which we didn't mention just now, was that the Hang Seng Index will ensure 20 to 25 of constituents in the benchmark are classified as Hong Kong firms to prevent mainland companies from dominating the benchmark. And they will shorten the listing history requirement to 3 months for new companies.
So basically all these wonderful unicorns that come on listing in Hong Kong can be included in the Hang Seng Index ASAP. I think that's the intention,
ASAP.
Right? ASAP.
But mainland companies make up 58.4% of the weighting already.
Well, Hong Kong is the gateway to mainland China. But up next, as social protection systems become even more crucial, what is the future of EPF? We'll be discussing that with Lawrence Todd of Think Tank Ideas in a few minutes. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.